some random talking in between, and then eventually the whole thing will just end.
It's Desmond Dekker there with 007. It's not really about James Bond so much, is it?
What is it about?
Well, it's just about a shanty town.
Why is it called 007?
That's what I want to know. It's exactly what I want to know. I demand answers. I was very disappointed the first time I heard that song because I was in the throes of a James Bond fixation and I thought, great, a new song about my hero, JB, the man with the license to thrill, and it wasn't anything to do with it.
Well, there we go. I can't help, I'm afraid.
Disappointing, though, isn't it?
If you prepared me for that question, I could have come up with the facts, but I've got no idea. Morning, listeners. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Thanks very much for joining us at our new exciting time of 10 a.m. And we've got all sorts of things coming up. I'm not saying that they're exciting, but they're things.
Come on, they're very exciting.
They're very exciting. Starting off with, of course, the Black Squadron Command. The elite listening force. Not quite as elite as they used to be. Slightly less elite.
The lazy listening force.
Is there a word that means slightly less than elite? Petite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a Reet Petite elite squad of listeners who are going to execute a task that we're going to issue very soon. I've got a selection of tasks. Maybe we should play a record, and Adam, you can help me to select the task.
Yeah, good idea. Later on, we're going to have some made-up jokes.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some famous name repurposing. That's not true, actually. I just said that to fill in space. But I was thinking, like, some appropriation we haven't had for a while.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. We've got Retro Texanation Tech. I'm just saying the name of these features that are barely features, just to give the radio, you know, show some kind of form at the beginning of the programme here. How's it going?
They're like features on an ultrasound scan of an only just pregnant woman.
Indistinct.
Yeah.
Barely readable. Yeah, let's have some music. This is Chapel Club with Surfacing.
Just had a statistical update on last week's Black Squadron response. We got over 151 photographs of, was it bin bag fashion? Yeah, bin bag fashion last week. That is, I think, the highest number of Black Squadron responses we've ever had. So that puts paid to any doubts that our later time would disperse or, you know, defocus Black Squadron. In fact, they're more focused and more threatening a force than ever before.
Of course they are. They've had an extra hour in bed.
They could destabilise the authority of the state in the country. I mean, it could be seen as a threat by the government.
Sure. And what's going to happen?
Well, the show could be pulled off air. We could be sort of, when we're walking home, snatched and thrown into the back of stretch limousines and taken to be ticked off by the Queen.
Oh, man.
Laura.
Oh, you two guys, you've been naughty on your radio show, Laura, Blind of Data.
The unmistakable tones of Her Majesty the Queen.
Sarah Black, what you doing on that radio program? I heard it, you Black Squadron, Laura, phone, you're going to have a lolly couple, you are. But if the squadron get too strong, it's going to bring problems, Laura, plorums for you, Black Squadron, Sarah Black.
If I didn't recognise that instantly as the Queen, I would think it was possibly a slightly dodgy stereotype.
She's got a very snooty voice, doesn't she?
She's got a very upper class
very
voice.
Snooty very voice. Snooty voice. That's typical of the upper classes. That typical Eton voice.
Absolutely typical.
You know? Like Boris Johnson.
Hello, Boris Johnson here. Went to Eton. Hello, Laura.
Yeah, or James Cameron.
Yeah.
The head of the Tory party.
Hello, Tory party. Laura, Tory party, innit?
So how does he manage to direct Avatar and run the Tory party at the same time?
Cameron.
Yeah.
He's a genius.
He is, isn't he?
And he's
is that
operating
Eton education.
Eton, he created a new dimension.
Has he?
In Eton. That's what they teach you there.
Really?
Okay, this week, dimension studies. Cameron, have you come up with a new dimension? I certainly have, sir. It's a new dimension in excitement, and it's populated by blue people with large eyes from Australia who are trying to protect their kingdom from bad army men.
Blue people. They could change Blue Peter to Blue People.
That would be a lot better, wouldn't
it? More kids would watch. If it was presented by giant semi-nude Smurf men.
Who look like Connie Huck.
Yeah.
She hasn't done that show for a while, has she?
She hasn't.
No.
Why?
It's just because she's the last presenter I can remember. You know what I mean?
She's beautiful.
She's absolutely beautiful.
Listen, though, Black Squadron.
Yeah.
Stand by for your command. Of course, the idea is we give you a few words of a command. Well, that doesn't sound right, does it? We give you a two-word command, two or three-word command. You have to absorb it and then take a photo based on that command and send that photo to us here at the castle. The text number is What is it?
64046.
Yeah. Or you can email it to us.
adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk.
And then, remember, if you do send us a photo, you're sort of giving us permission to pop it on our blog. Texts are charged at the standard rate. Something like that, I don't know. But send them in.
Oh, don't lose your nerve, Dermot.
I did well, though, didn't I?
You did really well.
I said the
right thing.
Previous
weeks, you've been so confident when you say that.
Oh, I just don't want to be falsely confident.
No, come on. Just make it up.
And calls will be charged at the standard rate. Unless you're calling from a mobile, when it'll be a lot more expensive. So here's your command, Black Squadron. We're going to kick some music off after I give the command. What are we going to hear, Adam?
Oh, well, this is a nice track from one of the Rough Trade compilations by The Normal, who I believe is the guy that basically ended up starting Mute Records. And this is a great piece of kind of arty, very early electronica, indie electronica, with him talking, you know, like this about TV. TVOD. I stick an aerial into my skin.
Wow.
That kind of thing. So it's going to challenge a lot of preconceptions.
I'm excited about that. Here comes the command, Black Squadron. Stand by. This week's command is Prehistoric Life.
Reverend in the Makers with Heavyweight Champion of the World. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music.
Listen, I think this command has confused the squadron. We were sort of picturing pictures of cavemen.
The command was prehistoric life.
Life, yeah.
Right.
We were thinking about prehistoric families, you know.
Yeah, cave people. The cave community.
Yeah, exactly. Sort of Flintstone-style activity.
Men dragging women by their hair.
Flintstone Churchill.
You know, children clubbing each
grunting,
other.
Grunting, people eating bits of raw chicken.
And drawing pictures of animals
cave drawings
on the walls.
Yeah, we've got quite a few dinosaur-based pictures. Sort of toy dinosaurs and stuffed dinosaurs.
It's not too late to redirect the squadron.
No, the squadron still have 9 minutes, and that's not to belittle the entries that have already come in. We've got just people looking, you know, pulling prehistoric faces.
Uh-huh.
Here, Catherine has sent in a picture of her. Is it her husband? Let's have a look.
He looks a little Neanderthal.
He does look Neanderthal. He looks simple in the head, as if he may only be able to construct very simplistic bits of logic in his bonds. That's just a man lying on the doormat under some rugs.
He's frightened of the modern world.
Is that prehistoric?
Yeah.
There's somebody, just somebody in bed. That's hardly prehistoric. I don't think they had beds in prehistory.
Of course they did. They had them. They were made out of twigs, and they came from a primitive version of IKEA.
Right. Oh, that's quite good. She just looks as if she's also devolved to a prehistoric mental state.
Yes, she's a sexy cave person.
She really is. She's still overly clothed. Now, this is more like it. Look at this guy. Who's this guy?
Oh, he's nude and he's trying to make fire
Callum
in his bedroom.
In Glasgow. He's trying to make fire in his bedroom while wearing some little green pants. That's along the correct lines.
Come on.
Prehistoric life. He's evoking a whole world of prehistoric activity there with one simple image. Is having a tin bucket on your head, is that prehistoric life? I don't think tin buckets were around in prehistory. That is from Lieutenant Wing Commodore Christopher D. Chamborsey. I don't know, he might have to be kicked out of the squadron for that flagrant disregard of what the command is, unless he can justify his tin bucket hat.
Well, you can keep those coming in, squadron, and stay focused. Right now, here's one of the hot bands of last year. They're so over now, though. I mean, the Fleet Foxes, come on. So last year. So 2008, all right?
Let's hear them.
This is He Doesn't Know Why. So last year. I'm joking, of course. That was Fleet Foxes with He Doesn't Know Why.
Adam it's timeless.
Joe here on BBC Six Music. Of course, it's timeless.
It's eternal. It's an eternal sound.
Great music. Great times.
From 2008.
Nearly the end of the decade.
Isn't that extraordinary?
Flipping heck. I always, in my mind, I had 2010 as still part of the noughties, but of course it's not. It's the beginning of the teens, isn't it? What are they going to call it? The teens?
The teenies.
The teenies.
Yeah.
The tweenies.
The totties.
The totties would be better. Welcome to the totties. So last week, listeners, I was excited because I was about to go off to interview the film director, Spike Jonze.
Yeah, we formulated some brilliant questions for him.
Yes. And
didn't we?
Yeah, they were. Can you remember what they were?
Yeah, they were, who are you?
Who, what
who
you do?
Who are you? What do you do? Faves?
Worsties.
Jedward?
Jedward? And then who do you do?
Who do you do? And then bye.
Bye.
How did that go? Is that now the first thing was, how were you going to greet him? Because you thought you might give him a knee in the nuts.
Knee in the nuts and yo spickles.
Jackass style.
Exactly.
That wouldn't have been an aggressive thing.
No.
It would have been a tribute, an homage.
Exactly.
To his oeuvre.
Oeuvre. I'm sorry to say, I'm ashamed to say I didn't do any of those things.
Coward.
I'm really sorry. I specked out at the last minute because I was nervous. There was a lot of people.
Not even a yo spickles.
I think I may have given him a yo spickles.
You did this at the Oxford Circus store of a major computer retailer.
Yeah.
And they have a kind of peculiar theatre on their top floor, don't they?
Yeah, where they do demonstrations and tutorials.
It's got a big screen and six or seven rows of seats, quite long rows of seats.
Yeah, I would say there were a couple of hundred people packed in there.
Pretty good.
All the seats were taken and then loads of people came and spectated, including various
Spickletated.
Geniuses and Apple Store.
Spickletated.
Staff members. And it was good fun. It was really enjoyable. Went really well. Spike was very charming and accommodating. Mm. And I did a thing where I presented a lot of YouTube comments to him
from
the trailer of his of Where the Wild Things Are.
Right.
Which was out yesterday, of course.
Of course.
And so it felt really good. Like, by the end of it, it felt great. But then a podcast is available of the session, right?
Mm.
Go on iTunes and find it. And when I listened back to it, and it didn't sound quite so good. Like, it's just the audio, right? So so that there's a whole visual element that's missing.
Mm. But excuses.
Well, here's the thing. the one thing that really made me reach for the pause button that I'd forgotten I'd done was, do you remember when we were talking about the film off air, you were talking about the fact that you liked it. You thought, what was your theory about it? You said it was enjoyably simple because it was...
Well, I don't know.
You know the film Where the Wild Things Are?
Yeah.
Which you've seen. You had a little theory about why it worked so well.
Yes.
What was it?
I don't remember.
It was like it was a child's game or something.
Yeah. That was my theory. It kind of captures that thing where you go off and have a big game with all your friends as a child, and it's amazingly exciting at first, but then there's a weird disagreement, or you fall out with someone, and it turns a bit nasty and horrible, and you get feeling, you start feeling all hot and weird, and you don't really know why because you're too young to understand, you know, basic social dynamics and stuff.
Yeah.
So all you can do is run back to your mummy.
Exactly.
And give her a hug. And that's basically what that film was about to me. Did he not agree?
Well, at a certain point, I found myself regurgitating your theory because I got rattled. I ran out of things to say.
Right.
And then as I started regurgitating it, quite badly, I should add, I suddenly thought, maybe Joe's in the Apple store watching this at this moment. I suddenly thought maybe you'd come in and I hadn't properly given you the right credit for it. Do you know what I mean? Because
yes.
It was so obviously your theory. And then I got really rattled.
I was at home asleep on the sofa.
And my brain started melting and it got away from me and he had no response to the...
The theorem.
The theorem whatsoever.
Pasolini's theorem.
So if you listen to the podcast, you can hear that moment.
Wow. I'm sorry, I sort of managed to psychically throw you off your stride.
Well, it was a good point.
Without even trying.
Like, when you made it, I thought, yeah, that's a good point. But then I found myself regurgitating. I was like, this isn't even my point, and I'm regurgitating it badly.
Mm.
But there you go.
Sorry to ruin it.
Sorry.
But I'm quite proud I managed to ruin it without actually being there or making any effort at all. Hooray!
Long-distance torpedo commander Cornish.
Psychic warriorage.
So we should stand down Black Squadron. Speaking of psychic warriors, here's the jingle.
Black Squadron!
Stand down, your work is done. You've earned yourself a nice warm bath and maybe a nice little bun.
Get out of the Stone Age, Squadron. It's just gone 10:30, time for the news. MGMT.
They're weirdos.
That's Electric Feel. Adam and Joe here on BBC's Six Music. Should we get into Retro Text the Nation?
No. Yes.
I like to listen to Adam and Joe, but I listen to the podcast, not the live show. I used to feel acute frustration because I couldn't join in with Text the Nation. But now my troubles have disappeared because Retro Text the Nation's here. And now my letter might be read out instead of thrown in the trash and forgotten about.
Apparently they're going to be seeing that on X Factor tonight.
Are they?
Yeah.
And am I going to be like the mentor?
Yeah.
Am I?
Yeah, mentor.
No one's contacted me about that yet.
Have they not?
No. What time do I need to get down to the studio? About 5.
Yeah. No, yeah. Psycho was on the phone yesterday.
Really?
And saying...
And am I mentoring all three of them?
It's the best Text the Nation, retro Text the Nation jingle I've ever heard in my life.
Who are the finalists? Jumbles, Winkles and Monty, right?
Yeah.
Jumbles, Winkles, Monty. Winkles, the hairdresser from Bolton.
That's right.
Yeah, with the tiny...
Arms.
Yeah. And the big head.
Yeah.
Winkles.
Yeah.
The big girl.
She's absolutely really giant big, and she floats.
Really big.
Yeah.
And that floats, yeah.
She's full of helium.
And who was the third one?
Monty.
Yeah, he's the really old guy.
He's ancient. He's 150.
It's going to be an amazing final.
Yeah.
Who's your money on?
Monty.
So's mine. Because he is the best. I mean, it's kind of a foregone conclusion.
He's the best and he's got magic fingers.
He's the sexiest
and
as well.
Exactly.
He's the world's sexiest.
Do that thing with the top of his head.
Yeah, flip it around.
Exactly.
Like that.
Flip it around.
Flip it all around.
And also, everyone feels sorry for him because of the feet.
But wow, that's news for me, though. So that's quite a...
It's all the latest X Factor
20 million people watching me mentor.
Can you imagine how Monty's going to sing that retro Texanation jingle?
Amazingly. Watch out, Subo.
Yeah, because that's it.
Monty's coming up hard on your heels with his Christmas album. So Retro Text the Nation listeners is the part of the show where we give you the opportunity to contribute to last week's Text the Nation if you didn't do it last week.
Yeah, exactly. And last week's Text the Nation subject was all about misconceptions that you have laboured beneath for almost the whole of your life and only recently had corrected. For example, I remembered one that I...
Hey, can I say a thing?
Go on, then.
A lot of people were complaining last week that this was just egg corns.
And that's not egg
corns. All over again.
No, wrong.
It may have seemed a little bit like egg corns some of the ones we did last week were verbal.
The egg corns were in the Retro Text the Nation Venn diagram.
Egg corns are a subset of what do we call it?
Misconceptions.
Misconceptions, that's right. Sorry, my brain's not really functioning.
But here...
At about 11.
Here's a misconception that I had, which is not an egg corn. Well, maybe it's kind of egg corn-based. But when I was at school in Wales, as a little totty man, aged about 6 years old, I think, they would say the Lord's Prayer in the morning at assembly. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I thought it was Aled be Aled. Thy name. And the head boy of the school was called Aled. So I assumed that whoever was the head boy would have their name incorporated into the Lord's Prayer. And I desperately wanted that to be me, you know?
We got another email along similar lines, even though, of course, now I'm not going to be able to remember who it was from.
Adam be thy name.
But a guy that misheard Thanks Peter God as Thanks Peter God. And his dad was called Peter.
Whoa.
So he thought his dad was related to God.
Come on. He probably is.
Sorry, whoever sent that in, not to remember your name, but I'm just recalling your email from my head. That's how much impact it had.
That's double complimentary.
Double complimentary.
You know who you are. Tom in Leeds sent this in. Until about a year ago, I thought a pony was just a really small horse and didn't realise that it's actually a different breed. Now, this is a bone of contention because there was some people sending in messages about the fact that you can spell realise with an S or a Z last week. I was complaining that I only recently found out it was spelt with an S and not a Z in the UK. A lot of people saying that's not the case. It's one of those words you can spell any way you want. They were saying.
What about the pony thing?
The pony thing. Well, according to Wikipedia, a pony is a small horse with a specific conformation and temperament. There are many different breeds of ponies compared to horses, ponies, blah, blah,
really?
Blah. So a pony is a small horse. This guy's saying only... I thought a pony was a really small horse.
You've opened up a can of worms and you can't get the worms back in the can.
No, I can. He's wrong. Tom in Leeds, don't worry. Yeah.
So a pony can be any sort of young horse, small horse.
It's a small horse. It's about the height of the horse.
Not about the breed.
Not necessarily.
Here's a good one I got from Huel Sedgwick Gell. A friend of mine, until the age of 15, thought that everybody sat on the toilet the wrong way round, i.e. facing the wall with one's arms on the cistern. It was only when it came up in conversation that he realised this was not normal. Now, Huel Sedgwick Gell in this email suggests that that's such a powerful idea.
What's his name?
Huel Sedgwick Gell.
Yeah. That is a brilliant name.
He thinks that's such a powerful idea. He's convinced that 90% of our listeners will now go and try that. Next time they go to the toilet,
yeah,
they will attempt to sort of ride it like a horse or a motorbike.
Sit on it like Catherine Keeler.
I think that's unhygienic because your knees and your feet will go into areas that are usually just splashback based. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it depends how much clearance you've got.
And it depends how clean is your house.
Also,
how clean your house is. That's not how you say that.
Your Julies are going to get a little kind of spritz there when you flush, aren't they? So it's like a...
Well, that's an extra kind
it's
of...
It's like a bidet.
That's an extra sort of European touch.
That's nice. I don't see any drawbacks to sitting that way around. I see none drawbacks.
None drawbacks.
Yeah, because you can lean, you can do a little bit of work, you can have your laptop on
the... You could have your laptop on
cistern,
there.
Unless you've got a curvy cistern. But if you've got a nice flat cistern, oh, you can have a little bit of lunch.
Let us know how that goes, everybody out there, if you take up Huel Sedgwick Gel's
flush,
idea.
You get the Julie Spritz. Everybody
Julie
wins!
Julie Spritz. I know someone called Julie Spritz.
She's a very talented actress. Here's a message right now from Charlotte in Edinburgh. And she says, "Dear Adam and Joe, not so long ago, my boyfriend, my brother and myself were having a conversation about music, and a TLC song was relevant to my argument. I couldn't remember the name of the band, so I said, you know, the girl group with Lisa Left Eye Lopez, and the chorus goes, go, go, Jason Waterfall. Take me to the rivers and the lakes you used to. This was greeted with an uproar of laughter from my boyfriend and brother, as they told me the lyrics were, in fact, don't go chasing waterfalls. I'd always imagined this. I had always imagined that this song was about an ex-boyfriend called Jason Waterfall, who used to take his girlfriend to lakes, streams, any kind of romantic watery spot. To be honest, I prefer my version and I'm still unable to learn the new lyrics. Thanks, Charlotte from Edinburgh. Go, go, Jason Waterfall." That is better, don't you think?
Yeah.
Much better than TLC.
Jason Waterfalls. I wonder if he knows Julie Spritzer.
He probably does.
Julie Spritz.
Julie Spritz.
Yeah. Imagine if they were in a film together.
We should have more of these because we've got quite a few good responses.
Can we not have more now?
Give us one more.
One more. "Did you know that pigeons have nipples? Yes, that's right, they do. Or so I thought after my primary school teacher told us that pigeons suckle their young. Fast forward to 20 years later, a young man has just started an important new job and, sitting in a crowded tea room, decides to impress his new colleagues with this rare and interesting fact. Even as the words were leaving my mouth, I could tell something was wrong. Despite the looks of confusion turning to consternation, I stubbornly battled on through to the end of my telling. This is from Rob Jones in London, thinking there that pigeons suckle their young.
And have little pigeon nipples.
A lovely little mother pigeon lying on her side with lots of little baby pigeons suckling happily and keenly on her nipples.
She would get a lot of chafing with the beaks.
Yeah, she'd have to part the feathers as well.
Mm-hmm.
But there we go. So Rob was labouring under that illusion for a while.
That's a sexy image. Parting their feathers to reveal a pigeon nipple.
Some people are into that kind of thing.
I am now.
Yeah? You should go online.
Certainly.
Look for feathery breasts.
Hey, folks, after this Richard Hawley record we're about to play, we're going to try and speak to Claire Runacres, the news lady. I don't know if you heard the news. She's got a bad cold.
She's ill, and we deserve to know, really.
Yeah, so we're going to see if she's up for talking to us. This is Richard Hawley with Open Up Your Door. That was Richard Hawley, sounding like a kind of Las Vegas crooning man with Open Up Your Door. That's taken from the album True Love's Gutter, his sixth studio album that was released in September of this year. It was my album of the year.
Really?
No, I'm just saying that. They say it was a good album, though. Congratulations, Richard. Now, we've been joined in the studio by Claire Runacres, who was reading the news this morning on Six Music.
We've invited Claire in because we had a lot of correspondence about Claire's delivery during her last bulletin. We had texts along the lines of, does the news lady have a cold? Has that newsreader got a cold or what? Has your newsreader got a clothes peg on her nose? Etc, etc. So we thought we were the sort of show that should set the story straight.
Yeah.
And get the newsreader in.
Claire, would you say, I'll give you a sample sentence, how about around the Ragged Rock, the Ragged Rascal ran or something like that?
Around the Ragged Rock, the Ragged Rascal ran.
You sound better now than you did on your bulletin. Are you hamming it up?
It's the N I can't do. I'm totally bunged up, I'm afraid.
We were so impressed when we heard you because we thought it was such a strong cold and it sounds so strong. We thought it was very brave of you to come into work.
Yeah, you soldiered in.
Well,
you could
I'm
easily
here,
have
you know,
taken
to
a sickie.
Entertain everyone.
Why didn't you pull a sickie, mate?
What does
She's
one say
professional.
To that?
Look, we could easily read the news. It doesn't matter how serious
exactly.
It is. We've got the necessary gravitas.
We're trained in news.
Well, yeah. This could be arranged.
But you seem more perky than you sound. Have you even got a cold at all?
Well, no, I'm just putting it on, just for the effect.
She doesn't sound like she's got the cold anymore.
So you don't actually feel bad, you were saying?
No, I feel fine, I just sound stupid.
Yeah, and you don't sound stupid, you sound sort of tired and sexy.
Well, that's not so bad.
But when you were reading the news, your voice is almost getting croaky as well. Like you sounded, you were doing the voice basically that I used to do when I phoned in sick. And the technique is to lie on your bed backwards with your, like, lie on your back on your bed, hang your head over the side of the bed. And that makes your voice sound kind of strained and croaky like that if you do it. And that's a good way of phoning in sick. And you had that voice.
Well, thanks for that tip. Maybe I should have used it this morning.
Well, you didn't need to, though, did you? Because you sounded really bunged up. And you're heavily pregnant?
That's part of the problem. I'd take something for it, but I can't.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I'm glad she's actually pregnant. Not just like a little bit.
She doesn't sound ill anymore. What's happened to the bunged up voice?
We've cured her!
We've cured her.
It's
with
Dr. Buckles and Dr. Sexy.
I've passed it on to you guys.
Oh, yes, that's the point, isn't it? What are we doing inviting you in?
Get her
here?
Out!
Well, Claire, I'm glad you're feeling okay. And very good luck with the pregnancy. End of January, you're due.
Yeah.
Hope that goes well for you. And there you go, listeners. Claire's all right. She's in one piece.
Thank you for your concern.
You'll be hearing more from her at 11:30. But right now, Joe, you've got a free play for us.
Do I? Is this the M Ward? Yeah, this is M Ward. He's a sort of Los Angeles fashionable singing man.
Mm.
And he's done a cover of David Bowie's Let's Dance.
Has he?
This is what it sounds like.
Six music.
Later today, songs with girls shouting with Jimmy Winkwong. Then at midnight, DJ Scratch Max. But now, oh, it's Adam and Joe.
Hey listeners, how you doing? Adam and Joe here on Six Music. That was The Killers with All These Things That I've Done. We have been here only an hour because the show started at 10 a.m, not 9 a.m. this week. We started starting at 10 last week.
Mm.
And that's where we're going to be now for the next few weeks at least.
Last week's Text the Nation, no, last week's Retro Text the Nation was about parties, right? Amazing parties.
Yeah.
And we had an email from a man who wrote into us about an incredible student party, which involved a sort of homemade water slide coming out of the first floor of a house, curling around the garden and going back into the front room where they had got a massive tarpaulin and pinned it against the walls and filled it with water and made a huge indoor pool. And it sounded incredible.
Well, I would say I was poo-pooing the notion that they'd actually gone through with it.
Adam poo-pooed in the pool. And we also accused the gentleman that sent this email, whose name we can't remember. Yeah, true to form.
Mm-hmm.
We accused him of being a liar.
Massive liar.
I think his name was Tom. Why do I think his name was Tom?
You always do. We get a lot of Toms. You know. it's a good guess,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, it's a good guess. It's a common name. Tom.
Tom. Tom's usually the kind of person that builds a water slide.
Anyway, he sent us photos of this party.
Mm.
And lo and behold, it appears to be completely true. The photo was an extraordinary jerry-built pool with about, you know, 10 or 11 very drunk-looking students in it,
mm-hmm.
and very off-colour water. I mean, it looked pretty revolting.
Yeah.
It looked like a sort of fun cesspit.
Soup. Student soup.
Student soup. Yeah, not a lot of water in there, mostly just urine, alcohol and sweat.
And some crunchy croutons.
But it's true, the party did happen, and so hats off to you, whoever you are. You're probably Tom.
And
probably.
We're sorry that we labelled you a liar.
Yeah, the cast will take back that accusation.
Now, Joe, you were saying just while we were playing The Killers
yeah,
there...
Yeah, I've got to get something off my chest. I had an altercation in a popular coffee chain.
Sandwich.
Sandwich shop that yes. has aluminium in it,
yeah.
you know, and lots of star shapes around the place. I go there regularly every morning for a delicious croissant, and I was standing in the queue, and this particular chain has quite a chaotic queuing system, e.g. it doesn't have one.
Yeah.
It's often very busy in the morning. So I was standing waiting for my delicious croissant in a queue, a sort of queue that had informally formed, and it was a sort of one queue for about four checkouts.
Mm-hmm.
They have lots of checkouts at this place, and they're usually pretty good. So I was in that queue, I was about five people away from the queue. On my right, past me, swanned a young lady doing a message on her pink BlackBerry,
mm-hmm.
and she headed straight past the queue up to the counter.
Oh, dear.
Okay, so...
Lady Mark.
Lady Mark. So, Cornballs, reaches out and touches her arm. And says, excuse me, there's a queue here. Right?
You love to touch, don't
right?
you?
Well, you see, there we go. You've honed in on the point.
Hand on the shoulder.
As soon as I touched her arm, she turned around and looked at me as if I had the severed head of her mother in my hand.
Did you?
I didn't, no. Oh, okay. I'd left it at home.
Right.
But she looked at me as if I actually had it with me, as if I pulled it out of some sort of bowling ball
people
bag
like
and
being
gone,
touched.
Look at the severed head of your mother! Right. She was so shocked. She literally gasped.
No.
And stared at me in silence. And I sort of smiled weakly and said, no, we're queuing. I carried on forcing my point. And she said, how dare you touch me? How dare you reach out and grab my arm? I said, I didn't grab your arm. I touched your arm. That is so aggressive. She said, I was like, is it really aggressive to like lightly touch someone's arm? What are you going to do next? Steal my BlackBerry?
No, yeah. She didn't say that.
Yeah.
It's like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
So I just...
What? I barely touched your arm. God.
Well, I couldn't react in that kind of way. I were totally short-circuited because I just didn't understand. To me, it was as if she was insane.
Yeah.
Insanely overreacting. But
Definitely.
You just can't be sure because it was suddenly a very public display, a public confrontation. Because now, of course, the whole of the aluminium sandwich shop was now staring at us.
Right. A couple of people. Did you get any Stevens?
Didn't get any Stevens, no. In fact, this place was right next to the BBC here.
Yeah, I know the one.
So I'm convinced that this young woman had a haughtiness that could only come from working
from
at
the
BBC. Probably Radio 4.
Castle-based haughtiness.
Castle-based haughtiness. I'm just guessing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I was quite sort of vilified and confused. And she did join the back of the queue. And when I bought my breakfast kit... I was so polite to the person serving.
Yeah.
I was sort of extra polite so everyone could tell I wasn't a bad person.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking, what would be a brilliant verbal salvo for as I exit?
Right.
Because I'd very much sort of stayed silent and I could have been cheekier. I could have risen to her confrontational tone, but I didn't.
You know what I would have done?
What?
Squeezed her ass.
Would you? Little pat on the bum. Calm down, darling. Better luck next time.
I'm sorry.
You know what I was going to say? You know what I had ready in my head?
I apologise for that language, incidentally, listeners.
I was going to turn and look at her and say, bye, good luck with being nuts. That was my line in my head. I thought, this is good. What's she going to come back to? And I've left so much of a pause between the altercation. That's going to ruin her week. Yes, and I will have won, but I didn't say it.
Good luck with being nuts.
Good luck with being nuts. And then I would have run out of the shop at high speed.
People don't like it when you invade their space.
People don't like being touched, do they? Even, do you remember my story about the King Creosote concert?
Sure, I
when
do.
I told those two ladies to be quiet, it was the very same lady face I got.
You put your hand on her shoulder
the same
in that
lady
situation.
Face my long-term partner gives me when I touch her. It's not. She loves to be touched.
How dare you touch? What are you going to do, steal my BlackBerry?
Is this a new rule? Are you not allowed to touch another human being unless you know them? Is that a thing? Do I have to go on a register? Now
it's weird. It's outrageous. It's like getting an electric cattle prod.
I really didn't grab her arm.
I bet you didn't.
I touched it.
Yeah.
I may have tried to stop her. It may have been a slight bit of pressure.
Little
anyway,
a little.
What do you think, listeners? Did I step over a line, or should everyone just touch strangers a bit more?
Sure, I do. I mean, I'm a big fan. As you know,
you love to touch strangers. You do it at night, don't you? Dressed in your special clothes.
I'll goose anyone.
Climbing windows.
Generally,
down drain pipes.
They really like it. Hey,
Spring-heeled Buxton.
It's Gary Newman and Little Boots time. This was recorded especially for BBC Six Music. And you can go to the Six Music website if you'd like to watch a video of the performance we're about to play you. This is Gary Newman and Little Boots with Our Friends Electric.
Gary Newman!
And Little Boots there. I mean, the spoken bit in the middle of that, Our Friends Electric, which incidentally, don't forget, you can see on the Six Music website. You can watch a video of that performance and you can hear the whole show from last night on the iPlayer. But Gary, he's just mumbling. I don't know.
He's king of the mumblers.
But he doesn't.
He's very, very good at mumbling.
He was just sounding like a sort of old drunkie.
Controversial music today. That cover of David Bowie's Let's Dance by M. Ward has provoked the ire of our listeners.
It was a little downbeat.
Guy from Coventry, absolute rubbish. I can't dance to that. Bowie deserves better than that.
Yeah.
There's another quite negative one down there. Someone says that was a terrible, terrible cover of Let's Dance. Don't ever darken my radio with it again. Frankly, I like it. Very late at night, at about 1 in the morning, played very loud. It really hits the spot.
I like M. Ward very much.
M. Ward's good, but I suppose it's a bit of an obvious gambit to play an upbeat song in a sort of downbeat solo guitar thing. It's quite an easy way to go, but that in and of itself shouldn't be enough grounds to dismiss it, should it, Count Buckley's?
No, I mean, not if you do something sufficiently interesting with it, which maybe M. Ward didn't.
Well, I think he's been very subtle, and it's a mood piece.
Oh, it is, yes.
Yeah, and it depends on when and where you listen to it.
Hey, Jobo, come on.
I shouldn't have played it.
You should. You were taking a chance, and you're pushing the boundaries. You're popping your head through the noon barrier and saying, hey. I mean, you haven't actually popped your... It's 45 minutes until we pop.
I'm trying to push it through. It won't go yet. It's really
but
close.
Don't worry about a couple of naysayers out there, all right? They're narrow-minded.
Are they?
All right. It was very nice. We all liked it, didn't we, folks? Let's have some more retro Texanation.
Yes, let's.
I used to listen to Adam and Joe, but I listened to the podcast, not the live show. I used to feel acute frustration because I couldn't join in with Texanation. But now my worries have disappeared. Instead of throwing the trash and forgotten about.
Wow, wow, wow. Yeah. So, Retro Text the Nation, as we reminded you earlier, last week was all about things you've kind of got wrong, miscomprehensions, misunderstandings, things that you've only just learned and make you feel retrospectively like a fool.
Misconceptions. This is a message that I got
What was that? That was another jingle.
Uh-huh.
We can't have... What was that? That was a jingle clash.
Jingle clash for, like, a subsection.
For Retro Text the Nation.
If we just honed it into a misconceptions feature.
Oh, you're getting into an individual jingle for each new subject.
Misconceptions. Here's one from Evan in Sydney, Australia. We've got a lot of listeners in Australia, don't we?
And none of them will have us to stay.
No, I mean, why don't the BBC fly us out there and do a little tour? I'd love that.
Stupid.
He says, greetings, AJ. Whilst driving through a tunnel that went underwater, my girlfriend said she always worried when driving through them in case there was a puncture in the tunnel and water would come gushing through.
Mm-hmm.
For a moment, I entertained that thought. But then I started wondering how they would build a tunnel in the water. Surely they don't have builders in wetsuits with scuba diving gear. Then we realised they probably built under the ground, which is below the water. Well, I don't actually know, because as I was reading this message, I was thinking, you know, I don't really know, Evan. Maybe, surely they sometimes do. They put pipelines in the sea, right? Then you do get scuba men with underwater.
Yeah, but then they just have to sort of lower the pipes, don't they, and connect them.
That's the way I thought they did. Like, big pipes, and then they flush the water out of them. That's the way I thought they did them.
If you go on the Eurostar under the under the channel, everybody on that train is thinking the same thing as you go into the tunnel.
Right.
You're having sort of Sylvester Stallone-style fantasies about some kind of underwater train disaster.
Uh-huh.
Don't you?
Sure.
Is it impossible not to have a fleeting reverie about some sort of underwater disaster?
No, it's very unpleasant. I don't like it. I'm very relieved when we emerge.
Yeah, when you emerge at the other end. And then the other thing that you people must think about generally is how the hell they built the thing.
Right.
They should have a little booklet.
Do you know, James? You're cleverer than us.
We don't know anything.
We don't know anything. Program.
Nothing.
Someone tell us.
You could build it full of water in scuba suits, then suck the water out like a giant straw.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Either flush it or suck it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we don't know. Have you got one there?
I certainly do. Here are some good ones. Here's one from Ellie from Aylesbury. Until recently, I always thought the popular lemon-lime carbonated drink 7-Up was actually called Zup. Because of the packaging. I still think that sounds way better.
They could rebrand
Zup.
It.
They should rebrand it Zup.
Yo, Zup.
Another quickie from Beth Wilderspin. An indigestion tablet advert a few years ago encouraged you to suck them and see. I, for a long time, thought that they contained a new type of vitamin or wonder drug called suck them and see. That's
yes,
pretty good.
I'm afraid you're severely lacking in suck them and see. You need a little injection there. Here's one from Trev Rowe. He says, hi, Cornish Boggles and Buckles. Nice to include Boggles in there. My friend Natasha managed to...
Who's Boggles?
Boggins.
Oh, that's a new name for Boggins, is it? Boggles.
He says, my friend Natasha managed to live into her mid-20s, believing that... And this is bizarre.
This I thought that was the end of the sentence.
No, no. She managed to live into her mid-20s.
Wow.
What kind of misconception is that? You're not supposed to make it to your mid-20s, you moron. she lived into her mid-20s, believing that when people talked about there being 6 billion people in the world, it meant we were all living inside the world. Okay? And this is hard to actually conceive, but she believed that we were living in a kind of inner kingdom.
Right.
And she said it came up, he says it came up in a conversation with her boyfriend when she asked how it was that we could see the moon. Best bit, she's a travel agent. I kid you not. I mean, what kind of a travel agent is she?
That's quite sensational.
Yeah, you'll be travelling to a magical island in a big metal bird, a sausage bird that flies in the sky just beneath the outer layers of the inside world where we live.
Wow, it's like a sort of real-life Truman Show person.
Can you believe it, though?
That's amazing.
Into her mid-20s. Yeah, there's 6 billion people in the world. Inside the world.
Terrifying.
Where they live.
Well, that's blown my other ones out of the water.
Come on, let's have a more normal one.
I used to go out with someone from Surrey, let's call him Nick, who liked to think that he was a bit posher than the rest of us. He was so keen on being posh that he used to pronounce the word pavement, pavement. So the first syllable rhymes with bathe, pavement.
Pavement.
That's posh.
My son does that.
Does he?
Yeah, it's nice.
I've got one other one here. For most of my 32 years, I thought that Barbara Streisand was called Barbara Streisland with an L. The truth only emerged after I suggested to my girlfriend that we got tickets to go and see her in concert last year. I couldn't believe it. I've got a couple of her albums and I could have sworn they said Streisland. Catherine in Deptford.
Here's one from Jay. He says, Bucks and Corn. I only realised, with an S, about 2 years ago that I'd been misspelling February. I'm 28. One day, glancing through my diary, I noticed the correct spelling and pointed out to my girlfriend at the time that my diary had an error in it. I proclaimed how stupid it was of the printers to make such a glaring boob. She stated that I was the stupid one and asked how I spell February. For 26 years, I spelt it February without the R. I couldn't believe it. How can someone live 26 years without becoming aware of this? My life became a farce. Why hadn't my teachers, my friends and my family pointed this out? I'm no longer with my girlfriend, and I fear this may have been a contributing factor. Is there anyone else to blame apart from myself? What other fundamental aspects of everyday life have I misconstrued? Yours, Jay. If that is my real name, in Manchester. P.S. Jay isn't my real name. It's James.
What if Jay lives inside the world? What if actually a huge portion of the human race do live inside the world on a sort of mezzanine level?
Yeah. I mean, if it turns out that Natasha's actually right about
what if
us
she's
being
right?
What inner core dwellers?
What if only members of the government and lizard people have access to a secret lift?
Whoa.
That takes you down to B planet.
So basically what we're looking at when we look at the sky, it is a painted ceiling.
Yes, it is. Like in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Exactly.
The ride.
In Disneyland. Oh, man, this is totally...
We've stumbled onto a truth larger than any of us can deal with.
Here's a free play for you now, listeners. This is Jonathan Richman, and he sounds a little bit like Claire Runacres in this.
He's got a kind of very nasal delivery anyway, and when he's singing this song, it's even more so.
And this is about a guy called Hippie Johnny, and basically he's phoning up his girlfriend, or this girl who he wants to go out with, and he's saying, stop going out with that guy Hippie Johnny. He's always stoned. You should go out with me. I'm straight. And this song is called I'm Straight by Jonathan Richman. That's The Temptations with Ain't Too Proud to Beg. Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's pretty much exactly 11:30. Time for the news with the hopefully well-sounding Claire Runacres. What's he had in the ear before?
I don't know. I don't understand young people's music.
I'm just a modern guy. Of course, I've had it in the ear before. I mean, who hasn't?
You know, we were talking about touching people just then.
Touching?
How I touched the lady in the sandwich shop and she overreacted.
She probably fancied you.
Do you remember? There was an erotic atmosphere.
Was there a little sparkle?
It was a meet cute. Do you remember the touching game?
Sure.
That we used to play. Yeah. Adam and I used to play a game called the touching game when we were bunking off school or just when we
just poncing around in
just
PSs.
Poncing around. How would that game go?
Private study periods. It would go, me and Zach and you and Louis would run out and we would have to go up to a stranger.
This would usually be in Trafalgar Square outside the National Gallery. I remember playing it a lot. A busy place.
Yeah.
A place busy with pedestrians.
Like, whilst the rest of us were watching, you would have to go up and touch someone just on their body and either not be busted. I mean, the thing was that...
You can walk along behind them and rest your hand lightly on the back of
right,
their jacket.
Exactly.
As they walk along. And didn't you get points depending on what reaction you got?
Yeah, if you
like
got...
Like, if you could touch them and not be noticed at all, like get several metres along the street without being noticed, then that was a score. You'd run back towards your cluster of observing friends.
Yes! But you'd get more points if you got busted, wouldn't you?
Would you?
Yeah, because that
depending
would...
on how sort of vociferous a the response was.
Yeah, that was more derelicious if someone turns around. If you go up and lay your hand on their buttocks and they spin around and go, what the heckins? Then you get more points for that, surely, than an unrecognized bottom touch.
Yeah.
It's a good game.
It is a good
game. You can get in trouble, though, playing. You have to be careful.
You should be very careful. I only mention it because a listener called Ruth texted in saying, I have a friend who's been testing how long he can touch strangers for.
Mm-hmm.
He and his friends compete with best... non-sexual body parts to touch.
Yeah, that's...
He put his hand on the waist of the Covent Garden Marks and Spencer's security guard for ages once. But no rebuff, just a confused security guard.
It is fun. I mean, a little bit of confusing touching can be a fun thing.
Well, I think we should really bring it back because I don't think this is a direction the world should go in.
Well, do you ever find that... I mean, you and I are certainly in the scale of celebrity pretty minor... But I think sometimes if people recognize you, they feel more inclined to touch you. Do you ever get that? Like people sort of reach out and...
Not really.
Well, sometimes when I'm doing gigs and stuff, I guess after people have had a few drinks, people come over and like last night I was out and this guy, he was a friend, like he'd been introduced to me by a friend and he was a little bit tooty. But at one point he reaches across and he starts tugging at my beard going, nice beard. And he was like tugging at my beard and then he sort of pinched my nose and stuff. I really wanted to hit the guy.
He's after a DNA sample so he can clone some little bucklings.
Yeah. Get them on rival radio stations.
Bucolic Park.
I really wanted to smack him.
He's the new Richard Attenborough.
Should we have some made-up jokes? Here's the jingle.
I'm a funny person. I often make up jokes. My jokes are more amusing than those of other folks. When you hear my joke, I think you'll find that you agree. Come on, you're all invited to a made-up joke party.
We're going to blaze through these, listeners. Here's one from Ben in Greenwich. And he says, what do you call a female pop star who's able to detect ionizing radiation?
Oh, probably something to do with... Oh, yeah, no, I can guess this one.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah. Did you see her on her giant bath?
No.
On the telly program, The X Factor,
no.
she done a performance. I only saw it on the repeat last night.
Yeah.
She'd done a performance.
What was in the bath?
Men, dancing men.
Oh.
She finished her Nathan's. Song in a very, you know, she does very sort of edgy angular dancing.
She does.
So did her dancers. Very sexy, very provocative. They finished their dance, all lounged all over the bath, all in weird positions. And she's in a weird position on her back with her head hanging over the edge of the bath. Dermot has to come over and interview her. And it was funny because the dancers didn't really know what to do, whether to relax or whether to hold their poses.
Yeah.
So they held their poses.
Good job.
But you could see that they were really...
Were they sort of quivering?
They're under a certain amount of strain.
Oh, man.
And then Lady Gaga Counter didn't know what to do herself.
Mm-hmm.
So she was just kind of weird and
awkward. Did she say anything outrageous? I'm in the bath!
Dermot said, what's your advice for our contestants and viewers? She said... Be yourself and don't ever let anybody tell you that you can't fulfill your dreams.
Huh.
Which is good. I thought that's good advice.
Of course, that's the standard.
What would you do if I told you you couldn't fulfill your dreams?
I'd be upset and I'd stop trying to fulfill my dreams.
Yeah. Well, you want to listen to Lady Gaga Counter's
advice. I shouldn't let
anyone
tell me that.
Here's a joke from Max in Aberdeen. Did you hear about the albino smoothie? It didn't have enough melanin. Come on.
Incidentally, if you've never heard this show before, these are jokes that people have sent in that they have made up themselves.
They're claiming they've authored them, and I've done some testing on my ones.
Well, Lady Guy, I'm not even going to go into whether Lady Guy...
At least it's contempo. Goes.
Exactly. Here's one from Mark Livingston, and I'm sure some variation of this has been done before. Dear Adam and Joe, a philosophical joke. What's the difference between Karl Marx and Immanuel Kant? Karl can be reasonably described as one of the founders of modern socialist thought, and Immanuel Kant. He says it works with other philosophers too, as long as the second one is always Kant.
Oh, I bet that's a golden oldie.
Yeah, it's like, what's the difference between Robbie Burns and Walt Disney?
Yeah.
Robbie Burns and Walt Disney.
Ah, very good.
It is a good one. Come on.
Dan Fowler from St. Albans offers this joke as his own creation. Do you believe him? Have you heard it before? Did you hear about the man with a lisp and a limp? He kept walking in circles. Come on,
that's a cracker joke, that one, practically.
Those are the only two I've got. Every other joke that I tested did not pass the Cornish Google test.
I wonder if this one would pass the Google test. This is from Liam Cooper in Oxford. Did you hear about the king who used to shout obscenities from the battlements of his castle?
Yeah, I did.
He had Tourette's syndrome.
Nice.
He had Tourette's. Here's some music for you right now. This is Yesaya with Ambling Alp.
Thank God.
What the heck?
Wow, it's the new wibbly-wobbly sound of contemporary music. That's Yesaya, which is more positive than Naysayer. They may be related to Leosayer. We're not sure. They're an experimental band based in Brooklyn, New York. What is their experiment successful?
Well, Jimmy the Hoover must be getting a bit annoyed about that, because they've just totally ripped all Jimmy the Hoover's...
Live performances sometimes include trippy psychedelic visuals projected in the background.
Whoa. They've got all the new tricks.
They've got all the big ideas. No, they're probably really good. They toured with management during the spring of 2008. They've also played the Hove Festival. It's a good festival. So they're the latest thing, and if you don't like them, then you're old and rotten and
dying. You're frightened of the new. Get with it, Grandad! So, Joe, you've got a free play for us right now.
I do, yeah. This is a band called Outcast, and Word Magazine did their... is that the right one? That's what we're playing next, isn't it? Yeah. Word Magazine did their Albums of the Decade.
Oh, yes.
Did you see that? And this, to them, was... kind of their hip-hop album of the decade. They were reckoning it's massively influential on, you know, Kanye West's new direction and the sound of urban music.
Which one did they go for?
Speakerbox and the Love
Oh,
Below.
Speakerbox, right.
Yeah, yeah, they reckon it's a classic. And I kind of agree with them. And this is one of my favourite tracks off it. This is called Prototype.
Frank Black there with Everything Is New from his album Show Me Your Tears from way back in 2003. Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Now... Back in the summer when we were at Glastonbury and we came out of the song Radio Radio by Elvis Costello, we couldn't have known that our pathetic rambles about what kind of songs would be guaranteed to be played on the radio would spur... I'm really in trouble here, man.
I'm putting on a jumper.
You're putting on a jumper.
I don't know how to get it around my head.
You haven't taken your headphones off. I'm just talking rubbish.
There's a lot of distracting things happening.
We were basically just speculating about what kind of song would be guaranteed to be played on the radio, right? So we just improvised these stupid little rambles. And people, we put them on our blog and people have been putting them to music in variously creative ways.
Yeah, the listeners instigated this, didn't they? We just happened to sing stupidly and then some brilliant and kind person... made the decision to put the random singing to music, and it snowballed into a kind of experimental sidebar in the show where you take our sort of out-of-tune, atonal, structureless singing and give tone and structure to it in a brilliant way. So it's a sort of way for people to demonstrate their extraordinary musical and production skills with a piece of absolute sort of rubbish to base it on.
Toilet rubbish. Here's something that John Ramone from Epsom Ramone sent in. He says, Dear Adam and Joe, on a recent family outing to our loft, I was delighted to find our old record player. On it was a long player of the Ramones, recorded live in New York City, New Year's Eve 1979. After we'd pogoed around... the long-forgotten toys and Dad's old magazines. We relaxed with a lovely bag of glue. 4 hours later, we were amazed to find a hidden... I'm sure that's not true. To find a hidden bonus track recorded by the little-known and very underrated younger Ramone brother, Adam Ramone. Hope you enjoy it. Here it is.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Hey, oh, come
come on, let's go. Hey ho, come on, let's go. Hey ho, come on, let's go. This song is playing the radio. Hey ho, come on, let's go. Listen to the song on the radio. This is the song that is playing right now.
Thank you very much, good night.
I love Joey Ramone at the end there. Thank you very much, good night. That's perfect. Thank you very much, John from Epsom.
This is going to make very little sense if you haven't heard the original samples. Maybe we should have played those as well. Are we able to play the clean samples, James?
But you can remember what you said. I mean,
I can remember, but I'm just thinking about listeners that don't know the backstory.
Yeah, but you can
this.
Paraphrase it, though. Sound weird. I just sang, this song is playing on the radio. Hey, oh, come on, let's go.
We were making the point that if you sing a song that lyrically is about being on the radio, you'll get on the radio faster. So I sung a random thing as well, and we got an amazing version of it by Nigel Hill. He says, I really hope you like this. I've incorporated both of your singy bits onto a musicy bit that sounds a little like the Blankety Blank theme tune. I think it's better than the Blankety Blank theme tune, which is high praise. After a couple of hours fiddling with your rather untidy but marvellous vocals, and then more hours fitting the music around it, I've come up with this little tune. I hope it's not too long. It's not long enough, Nigel. Here it is.
Oh, the DJ that's playing the song is cool, and the station he works for is the best in the world. The show he presents is number one in the city. Radio is great, please play me, I'm pretty. Oh, the DJ, oh, the DJ, the station he works for is the best in the world.
This song is playing on the radio. Hey ho, come on, let's go. Listen to the song on the radio. This is the song that is playing right now.
Oh, the DJ that's playing the song is cool. The station he works for is the best in the world. The show he presents is number one in the city. Radio is great, please play me, I'm pretty.
I like the fact that your bits are all upbeat and perky and my
I like
bits.
It when your bit comes in. It sounds so depressed and psychotic, but yet strangely chirpy. It's like, yeah, that's good, Nigel. That's I think really that's good. Really very good. If I was, for instance, the head of ITV, where almost all programmes have a theme tune that sounds like that, I'd make that my new key theme tune.
Yeah.
You know, like the Grangehill tune seemed to be sufficient for Give Us a Clue and Grangehill. It was on various different programmes. I'd do that with that.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd use Nigel's composition for almost everything.
Repurpose it. Here's one final one. This is coming from a completely different place. Let's just fire this off, James. Here's a bit of art music. Right? It's a kind of ambient composition. Some synths coming in here. This is from someone called...
Stop talking over it.
I'm sorry.
Start talking over it again.
This is from someone called Conal Rad. Conelrad. He says, I'm a part-time electronic musician working under the name Conal Rad. Tom Robinson has played me a few times on Six Music. That was nice of him, he says. And I wanted to see what I could do with your radio songs. I wanted to do something a bit different, though. Obviously, the premise of the things is that any song that mentions the radio will automatically get played on the radio. So instead of turning the sample into a hot, sexy chart hit with cardboardy reason beats and
like
so on...
Like Nigel did.
Right. I thought I'd see how far I could push the idea. I took Adam's unintentionally, or rather intentionally deadpan monotone voice and made use of its soporific qualities, looping it alongside some evil decayed synths and turning it into a long, loping ambient thing that nobody in their right minds would ever play on the radio. And there it is, ending there.
There it is.
Well, I mean,
playing on the radio.
We did play it on the radio. I mean, we spoiled it by talking over it. But thank you very much for that, Colonel Raddy says, P.S. Kilboggins.
Yeah, thank you, everybody who's done that. And if you go to our blog, which is available to view at bbc.co.uk/blogs/Adam and Joe, you can get those original music-free bits of rubbish vocal. And also you can hear what some other people have done with them. And maybe you think you can blow those efforts out of the water with your own amazing interpretation. I don't know why you would do it. We're not really sure... Well, we know why we're playing them, because they're funny and
don't
good.
Start asking why about things. I mean,
why not?
If we start questioning why we're here and what we're doing...
Why are we here?
It's all going to crumble.
What are we doing?
No.
Why?
It's Toots and the Maytals with Time Tough.
That's why.
Toots and the Maytals there with Time Tough.
What's happening next then on this programme, Adam?
I wanted to talk to you about hotels.
Oh.
Do you like staying? You stay in quite a few hotels,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, stay in a lot of hotels. We travel a great deal.
Flying around
I'm
doing
like George Clooney in
business.
Up in the Air.
Exactly. Have you seen that film yet?
Yeah.
Is that enjoyable?
Yeah, it is.
You having Clooney?
Yeah, I liked it.
You like pro
yeah.
Clooney?
Yeah.
Did you really like it? You're not just saying
well,
it to be
do,
nice.
Do you really...
Because you know him or something.
No. I know people who know.
Do you? Do you?
Very nice chap, apparently.
Very nice guy. Anyway, the fact is, you like staying in hotels, right? Do you actually
yeah.
like staying in them, or do you dread it?
No, I like it. If it's a nice one, I like it. If it's a nasty one, I dread it.
Sure, simple as that. I really like it. It's, you know, not part of my normal routine. Doesn't happen very often. But I was in London this week staying in a very nice hotel as part of a work thing. And it was really fun. But I'd forgotten about all the... Like, how expensive everything is, obviously, and this is an obvious point to make. But I still don't get the mentality of hotels charging so much. You know, they have, like, a little basket
yes.
of sweets and
yes.
stuff in the corner of the room. And you're just about to tuck into a little bag of teasers or whatever it is. Nice little bit of Toblerone or some chocky bar.
£3.50.
Four. For
what?
£4.
For what?
For the standard small-sized Tobler triangle bar.
No.
£4!
And that is a 300% markup. How
at
much would
least.
It cost you? A pound?
No, less
pence.
Than a pound.
60 pence.
65p max.
That's astronomical.
£4!
You're right, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
I was just about to bite the top off that mother and have myself a nice little bit of chocolate-covered nougat in a triangular form.
Do they charge for internet access? Because that's the most shocking thing. I mean, that's entirely free for them, and yet they can sometimes charge you up to, like,
on this occasion, no. And it was nice and fast, the broadband.
Was it?
Oh, speedy.
Did they charge for a bathrobe? Is there a bathrobe?
You know, I don't even touch those things now, because you go into the bathroom and there's all the notices about, you can use your towel if you want to, but you'll be killing the planet. How does that feel? You know, it costs us a lot of money. Basically, they're just trying to save a bit of money on laundry, but they put it on you that you're killing the planet by making them do laundry. So you're like, well, you know, are you going to give me a towel or
was
not?
Was there water?
There was a little bit of water.
Free water?
Free water, yeah.
There was free bottled water.
Oh, yeah, free. I thought you
well,
meant coming out of the taps.
That's no bottled water.
You didn't
I mean,
have
they
to pay to get
a couple
the taps
of bottles
turned
of
on.
Water, shouldn't they?
Yeah,
no.
Free water, double water.
Some they don't. Some they charge you £4 for the basic water.
But in the end, I had to, like, go through, because I was starving for a little snack. I had to go through and find the cheapest thing there. It was a pretty miserable chocolate chip cookie. Like, even in a rubbish hotel, you go in and you get the teas made, right? And you get a couple
get
of
little bickies,
free
yeah.
Bourbons or whatever. Not in this flipping hotel, you
the
didn't.
Off-bonds.
And the cheapest thing was the a little chocolate chip cookie, single cookie in a little pathetic wrapper, £1.50. Obviously, I could have gone down to a shop, and I just couldn't be bothered, though. So I had it, snaffled it. Do you think I declared it the next day when they asked if I had anything from the basket?
Probably not.
Didn't declare it. I felt quite naughty about it.
Yeah.
Normally, I absolutely would declare everything. Like, before, I had a little orange juice from the minibar. I declared that.
Do you leave a tip for the maid?
You know, I was worrying about this. What do you do? I'm so unused to going to a hotel. Are you supposed to?
Well, they sometimes leave a little envelope.
A little envelope
yeah.
for one night, though?
Yeah, saying, my name's Conchita.
Oh, they leave an envelope.
Yeah.
I thought you meant you leave an envelope
saying,
hi, my name's Conchita. I love
no, obviously I do that.
Yeah.
Because my name is Conchita.
Oh, if they leave an envelope, sure. If there's an overture
yeah.
to a tip, then I'll
yeah.
usually oblige.
Yeah.
But if it's just up to you, I mean, like once you've paid your bill and signed your check, do you leave a tip?
No.
No, no.
Why would you?
Well, I don't know.
They've already sucked all the money out of your wallet.
It's such a movable feast. Have you ever tried to fiddle the minibar?
What, like top up the whiskey
either
with some
top
tea.
It up or replace it with a cheaper version or something?
Sometimes I put my own things in the minibar.
Yeah.
And they don't like that.
Right.
You know, I put my own orange juice in there.
Yeah.
And some bickies in there. And then when you come back and the room's been done, they've taken them out.
Oh, that's annoying, though,
that
if they
annoying.
Do that. While you're there, you're paying for the fridge. It's your personal fridge. You could store blood samples in there if you wanted.
Could I?
Yes. It's your
Thanks.
Fridge. They shouldn't tamper with those things. When we were on our honeymoon, me and my wife stayed in this hotel in Las Vegas, and they had those things with the pressure pads on the minibar, and we went through this whole Indiana Jones-type thing of trying to...
What do you mean, pressure pads on the minibar?
Well, each item sits on a pad, so if you remove it, it's immediately
no.
logged onto
you
your
pay
bill.
Just so by touching it, you have to... pay for
it. As soon as you remove it, it goes on your bill.
No.
So we were trying to do this thing with like similarly weighted objects and trying to slide them in.
Did it work?
No.
That's work. Exciting.
It was exciting. Felt like we were in a film.
Good stuff.
Right
time
now,
for a record?
Yeah, yeah. Here's Julian Casablancas with I Wish It Was Christmas Today.
Yeah. You know, the other thing with hotels is, in my opinion, they always give you the worst room.
Right.
Just by default. So you should always say, can I see the room? And then say, is there a better one?
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's a little trade secret from Cornwalls.
Doctor, hotel.
Yeah, and just push with the room and there'll always be a better one. They always just put non-fussy customers in the noisiest room with the worst view.
Yeah, that's what they do to me.
Yeah, and then they just wait for the fussy ones and give them. So be fussy. That's my
Jimmy Fusspot. Every time that I've tried to be Jimmy Fusspot, it's got thrown right back in my face with a little dollop of poo-poo.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Because I don't think... They can see right through me. They think, oh, this guy has talked to someone who said, oh, you know, you should always make a fuss and you'll get a better room. Well, I'm going to throw it right back in his little hairy face. Deal with that, Jimmy Fusspot. No, that's the only room we have available. Okay, thank you.
That's usually what I do as well. But sometimes it comes through. Anyway, listen, it's time for this week's Text the Nation. And if you're worried that this is happening a little bit late in the show, don't forget that really it's just a setup for next week's Retro Text the Nation.
Yeah, it's all about the retro nowadays. Let's have the jingle jongle.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
And Text the Nation this week, listeners, is all about homemade Christmas gifts. What is the best or worst homemade Christmas gift you've ever given or received? Because next week's show is going to be quite Christmassy. It's our last show before Christmas, is that true, on the 19th? So we want a Christmas-themed Text the Nation, and this is it. Adam Buxton, what's the best or worst homemade Christmas gift you've ever given or received? Ask me. I've got one. Then you can have some thinking time.
How about you? Yeah, who you? I mean, okay. You're quite good on your homemade stuff, aren't you? You've got a good buddy who does a lot.
I got a good buddy who does a lot. He did a brilliant series of portraits. So he just bought some lovely gouache paints and some little canvas boards that you can get from art shops. Mm-hmm. And he got some photographs of all his loved ones. And he did some quite insane portraits.
Sort of outsider art
style. Well, the best thing was he was obviously clearly trying to do his absolute best.
Yeah.
There was nothing ironic or tongue-in-cheek about his approach. He really focused and tried to capture the... And inevitably, it turns out, quite wonky and self-expressive. But in a very truthful way, if you don't actually sort of premeditate the wonkiness.
Yes.
And we treasure that portrait. It's of me and my lady partner.
I think I know the one.
Each other.
It is absolutely wonkalicious.
It's really off. But there's something more on about it than any moron. It's more on it than off it.
Yeah.
Moronic. Anyway, you know, it's lovely and we treasure it.
Yeah, that's a very good. That's a good exercise in general. If you go into something trying your best and trying to do something as well as you possibly can.
Yeah.
If it turns out wonky, it's often very funny.
It's honest wonkiness. But that's a good... It's an economical approach as well, because his outlay was the canvas boards and the paints.
Yeah.
Probably the amount of money you'd spend on one commercially produced gift. And he managed to cover the whole family. He had to put time into it, but then that's the most precious quantity of all.
Well, this is the thing. A lot of people can't afford that precious commodity of time, and that's why they go out to the shops and just buy meerkats and all the other rubbish that is getting...
What, meerkats?
Meerkats are the big present this year. They're the big present this year.
A stuffed one?
Little stuffed meerkat.
Really?
Not a real, like, stuffed meerkat.
Why not?
But a cuddly toy.
How do you know they're the big present?
I saw it on the news.
On the news.
Why, are you down on the news now?
No, I love the news.
On the news.
I'm excited that Fern Britton's interviewing Tony Blair about the Iraq War.
Yes.
That's time for...
She's going to ask the tough question.
Isn't that one of the most depressing things you've heard for a while?
Why don't they get June Sarpong to do it again?
Anyway, let's stick to the subject.
Yeah.
Can you remember receiving or giving anything really amazing?
I don't get too many homemade presents. I mean,
kids buy you stuff? Do they not make you little things? I suppose it's different when you're a young child.
I get drawings, you know.
Get drawings.
And
do
the drawings are amazing. I absolutely love them. My son Natty is quite an artist, and nothing hits the spot quite so much as a Natty drawing. It's amazing.
Have you never given anything homemade?
Oh, I give lots of homemade things, yeah. But, I tend to do a lot of photo albums and stuff like that. But not Tracy Island style, because the worry, especially with children, is that they're going to throw it right back in your face. You know, they want the store-bought stuff. they want it all shiny and new and plastic and like everyone else has. If you start presenting them with a wooden hobby horse that you made in your shed, they're going to beat you to death with it. And even the Blue Peter stuff, like, I never understood why Tracy Island was such a massive sensation as it was. How long ago was that? 20 years or something?
Nah.
And they were telling people how to make Tracy Island out of, like, from Thunderbirds, out of cardboard.
What kid would want a homemade Tracy Island? It sounds like madness. But, you know, we want to really catalogue your best ideas for homemade gifts that you've either given or received, because it could be very useful for our cash-strapped student listeners.
Exactly.
Or, you know, people who
anyone in the financial crisis.
Exactly. Say it.
Right.
What?
Well, we are still in the grip of the credit crunch, financial crisis, whatever you want to call it. So this is a very timely...
So this is clever.
This is very clever.
This is really good.
This is radio gold.
I mean, this is like a proper radio
program.
This
is exactly like a proper radio
program. It's utilitarian, it's amusing, it's interesting, it's authored.
Useful, fun. Tell the people about the tunnel facts.
The tunnel facts? Did you just bring that on me so suddenly?
Earlier on in Retro Textination, how do you make a tunnel under the water?
Liam Hudson. The Channel Tunnel is bored through rock some hundreds of feet below the bed of the channel itself. Tunnels that aren't bored through rock are often built on the surface, then sunk down onto the bed of the river. Others are excavated just below the surface of the riverbed. These have to be maintained at high pressure whilst they're being dug. Yours, chthonically, Liam.
Good radio show, you see?
This is
interesting.
I just realised this is a good radio show.
Right, it is. Hey, here's a free play for you now, listeners. How are you with Captain Beefheart, Joe?
I'm ashamed to say I'm a tiny bit indifferent.
Well, this is a good place to start.
Only through ignorance, though.
This is an early Captain Beefheart album. He's an artist much beloved of many people that we admire and like. You know, very influential on people like the Mighty Boosh. I mean, he's been influential on millions of people. But this is from his album...
The Mighty Boosh?
Yeah.
They're that comedy duo that turned on Stella McCartney's Christmas lights.
There you go, exactly. This is from the album Safe as Milk by Captain Beefheart and the Magic Band. And it's... delightful. This is Abba Zabba. Very nice. That's Bell and Sebastian with Legal Man.
Couple of corrections to make, listeners. I just insinuated that it was... Well, I didn't really insinuate.
I said
that it was Fern Britton interviewing Tony Blair. But it's, of course, the far more heavyweight, Fern Cotton.
The proper political interviewer.
Yeah?
Yeah.
On the day that Mr. Blair attempts to justify his government's invasion of Iraq to the nation... the hard-nosed journalist Fern Cotton is sent in to drag him across the verbal coals.
She'll do it. She'll give him the grilling of his life. And also, I was mentioning I was doing a bit of poo-pooing to Tracy Island there, and our listener Gillian Reynolds has reminded us that it was only on Blue Peter as a service to young fans, viewers, consumers, because you couldn't buy it in the shops. They had sold out, you see. Those were the days, she says. Thank you very much for those corrections. And it's 12:30 and time for the news. CCR there with Bad Moon Rising. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music with Fern. With a little fern.
Little fern. Tiny little cotton fern. I'm looking forward to seeing that interview, whether it's Britain or Cotton, because I'm sure they're going to get some hard-nosed answers out of Tony B. Liar.
Yeah,
my opinion, not the opinion of the castle. It's not really even my opinion.
Now, listen, folks. This is our penultimate live show here on Six Music for quite some time.
Yeah, sorry to drop this bombshell, listeners, but... I've got to go off and do some work early in the new year, so we're going to have to stop.
What are you doing? You're directing your first film, is that right?
That's the kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've got to basically stop doing the show for the early part of next year. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it's the nature of the double act that when Cornball stops, what does Buckley's do?
Oh, I've been accepted into the Norfolk Space Programme.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm going to be the first East Anglian man on Uranus.
Wow.
So that's exciting for me. Maybe even a bit more exciting than your news. I don't know. Who's to say? But for me, it's an amazing opportunity, and I'd be foolish not to take it. So that's where I'm going to be for the beginning of next year, at least.
Yes. But it'll mean where this show is off the air for the first few months of next year. But to keep you happy, we're doing all sorts of things. For instance, from the 22nd of December, there's going to be a podcast every day. Is that right?
Yeah, for 12 days.
There's going to be the people here at Six Music are calling the 12 podcasts of Christmas.
They'll start with a few early ones, like from when we very first started doing podcasts, and there'll be a couple of newer ones at the end there. We have pre-recorded a Boxing Day show, which is myself and Joe's traditional Christmas party where we give each other gifts and do some inappropriate morning drinking.
That's going to be on the 26th of December. You can hear that. Will that be at the normal time? So from 10 a.m. till 1 p.m. on the 26th of December.
And also there is a Christmas Eve best of that our producer James has very kindly put together, which will go out on at 4 p.m. on Christmas Eve here on Six Music. So there's all that to look forward to.
Plus, we'll be back as normal next week for what's going to be our last live show for a while.
And we might, you know, we'll do some. I'm going to try and do a Boggins song, and I'm going to bring in some made up jokes in a big bowl that we can pick out. Maybe I should spend a few of my nectar points on getting
it's
going
to be a big show
fun
next
stuff.
Week.
Yeah, it's going to be a big emotional show.
Yeah, and the other thing is, we're going to keep the blog running as much as we can during our leave of absence. bbc.co.uk/blogs/ Adam and Joe. So please keep communicating with us and sending stuff in.
It'll be an emotional farewell next week, like Scylla on Surprise Surprise. Was it? No, Blind Data. I'm not going to do any more Blind Data, Laura. Sorry.
It should also be said that we'll come running, you know, back to this show and back to this station as quickly as we possibly can. I'll be like that lion in that YouTube video that is Return to That Woman.
Yeah.
That'll be what
I don't even want to go into how much I'm going to miss it, because I'll start getting genuinely teary, and I don't want to add to the number of men who cry in the media. No, I really will. I can't. Yeah.
But it's an unavoidable situation, and we hope you'll really bear with us for the first bit of next year until we come back.
Exactly. Right now, here's Devendra Banhart with 16th and Valencia, Roxy Music. Devendra Banhart there with 16th and Valencia, Roxy Music. Good stuff. That's a good album, man. You should check
that
out. Well done. So, how many girlfriends have you got, Devendra?
62.
62 girlfriends.
Yeah.
How do you remember all their names?
I just number them 1 to 62. And actually, I've written them on their foreheads.
What's your favourite number?
If they wash it off, I chuck them.
Yeah, sure.
That's the way most people do it, right?
And you force them to wander around nude.
Yes,
I
do.
In your teepee.
Yes, I do.
That's
my
not
huge
a little
teepee.
You're not worried that's a bit retrograde?
No, no one ever comes in the teepee apart from the wives, so it's my private realm.
Does it smell in there?
Only of fun things.
Yeah. Good times.
Fun smells.
Thanks very much, Devendra. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, propropriation. We haven't done that for a while. Hey, let's have the jingle jungle.
I like to change the lyrics of songs from time to time.
Lock the taskbar.
To make them refer to things I do. I call it appropriation, and as far as I'm aware, it isn't a crime. I wonder if it's something you do too.
Yes it is.
Bent over the washing this week, I started singing to myself.
Oh, I thought you were going to go somewhere else.
Not by someone. I was bent over myself, just helping out with the washing a little bit, and the tune popped into my head. The never-ending laundry. Never-ending laundry.
Hey, that would be a good intro for the podcast.
Never-ending story.
Yeah.
You got another good one, though. Anyway, I'm sure other people must sing that tune, because especially if you've got a family, a fairly large family, the washing machine just never stops a whirring. And you're always just plucking stuff out there and hanging it up and the never ending. Here's a message, though, from David Bennett, who says, "Hi, Adam and Joe. I was listening to the show and looking through my post at the same time. Just as you started to play This Is Not America by David Bowie, I picked up an envelope carrying the stern warning, 'This is not a circular.' Clearly, it's the power of your minds, and I shall forever be singing, 'This is not a circular, no,' to the appropriate tune at every appropriate occasion. Love, David Bennett." I got fooled by a This Is Not a Circular the other day. Do you ever, you know the things that I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
And I assumed...
Was it a circular?
No, it wasn't a circular. I don't think... Are they allowed to put This Is Not a Circular if it is a circular?
Everything's allowed these days.
Do you reckon they'd do that? Would be so low, wouldn't it? And I just assumed cynically that that's what someone had done. But this is not a circular in order that you're fooled into opening it. And so I thought, not going to fall for that one, matey. No way am I going to open that envelope and find out it is a circular and you've wasted a few seconds of my time. That's going straight in the bin. It wasn't a circular. It was a message from the electricity board saying they were turning the power off for a whole day. And then when the day rolled round and everything went off, I was thrown into turmoil and confusion.
You got a great deal of correspondence about your HDMI cable mix-up last week, didn't you? Last week, Adam was talking about how he went into an electronics accessories retailer in order to buy a new HDMI cable, and they told him there were three different prices available, sort of £10, £50 and £100.
100 for the gold, 50 or 75 for the copper, and 50 for the regular.
And we got an avalanche of very responsible correspondence pointing out that there is no degradation of image. An HDMI cable is an HDMI cable. It's the same quality whatever you pay for it. So that whole pricing scheme is a complete ripple-off.
Someone said they even had a thing on the Gadget Show on Channel 5 proving exactly this. They hooked up three TVs. And
the show with the most enthusiastic presenters on television. Have you ever watched that show?
Sure, it's a good
show.
There
are levels of enthusiasm that are almost unwatchable.
I like it, man.
I like it as well. I always end up watching it. But
they finally, on Harry Hill's TV Burt the other day, they finally did the thing that I was going to do on this show, actually. I was going to bring in their prize section and just play the audio.
Yeah.
They give the most prizes of any show ever in history.
It takes about 10 minutes to list them.
Literally, it takes 3 minutes to go through all the prizes they're going to give you. It's unbelievable. It's great. One final bit of pop-appropriation from Tom Patterson in Dorset. He says, I like to sing, I want to make tea, to the tune of I Want to Break Free in the morning. I'm sure a lot of people do that. I want to make tea. I mean, you could go on and just provide a whole section of new lyrics for that one, couldn't you? Thanks for those bits of pop-appropriation.
Here's a free play. This is some hip-hop from the recent past as well. This is a group called Main Source. This is called Looking at the Front Door.
That's good, man.
Yeah, that's a classic. That's Main Source from their album Breaking Atoms, Looking at the Front Door. Now, we launched a Text the Nation subject a while ago. Are we going to read out some of these quickly?
Yeah,
are we going to have a jingle? Go on, then.
Text the Nation. Text, 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 text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
And we're asking you all about homemade Christmas presents. We want really good ideas so cash-strapped listeners can copy them. Stuff you've given or stuff you've received that hasn't involved any kind of shopping at all, really, except perhaps for materials. Here's one from Mark Tyler. My sister made me a model of Jabba the Hutt out of clay. It looks more like a green poo with a face. I'll try and find you a picture, says Mark. Would you like that? Would you like me to make you a model of Jabba the Hutt that looks like a green poo with a face? What if it was a green poo with a face? Would you like that more?
Yeah, like a little baby poo. And you just...
It wouldn't be a little baby poo.
Would it not? Yeah. You'd have to change your diet because, I mean, that would be a touching thing to do for someone, wouldn't it? You change your diet for 2 weeks so you can produce a little festive stool.
That you then put a face on and call it Jabba the Hutt and give it to a relative. That's a good idea.
It's like Mr. Hanky.
What would you have to eat? Just a lot of food colouring. You'd have to drink a lot of food colouring.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's one from Tom D. Is that cool to have a second name that's just a letter? Tom D.
Tommy D, yeah.
Tommy D. Maybe he runs the Big D Peanuts Factory.
I think he does, yeah.
He does. As a child, I once made my mother a snow globe out of a peanut butter jar. I spent all of 20 minutes making it, wrapped it up and popped it under the tree. Within 2 hours, there was a small pool of water and glycerine to drain from my poorly constructed peanut butter snow globe. My mother tried not to get angry about the soaking carpets, but she didn't do it very well. Bye, says Tom D. And finally, dear Adam and Joe, I'm a bit skinty-wint this year. Actually, says skinny-wint. So I'm making my horse-loving sister, she's 28, a horse mask that she can wear. It's made out of papier-mâché. Here's a picture. We couldn't quite get the picture out of the computer. It's not finished quite yet. I put in the teeth yesterday. While I was looking at them, I started to chuckle to myself because of the horse's insane grin.
I mean, that's what Christmas should really be all about, shouldn't it?
We can't see the photo there. That is from... Who is that from? Crikey. Dan Schinner. We can't see the photo, but I can see it in my mind's eye, and it's brilliant.
You know, because otherwise you're just going out and buying people DVD box sets that they could perfectly easily buy for themselves, you know. What is much nicer than that is a horse
homemade horse mask or a poo with a face.
A little
what gets
Todd
more Christmassy
with
than
a
that
face. You know, and that is what it's all about.
Yeah.
Yeah, listeners. Okay, so keep your ideas for homemade presents coming in throughout the week. Don't forget, just emails if you're listening to this show during the week. No texts, please. The email address is adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. There you go. That's pretty much it for us this week, listeners. There's no Liz Kershaw today. Instead, it's Joe Good, who is going to be with you. And then, of course, Richard Bacon will be joining you from 3 p.m. here on 6 Music.
We'll be back at the same time next Saturday from 10 a.m. till 1 p.m. Thanks to everyone who's texted or emailed. Have a great week.
Yeah, we love you. Bye.